sake, I'm not gonna read the Ephesians 4. Because I got quite a bit I wanna get to this morning. And like I said, I mean, we've read it. But I think most of us knows we're supposed to quit lying, right? Sad to say, some Christians don't. Like, where is Ephesians? But it's over here. Now listen, don't let this stuff be too simple for you. Because a lot of what we're talking about, we've already heard, especially this morning, a lot of what we're going to be reading and talking about, most of us in here know. But how many knows it's not always what you know? Sometimes things can be in your head, but they're not in your heart yet.
Right.
You know, and when you get in tests and when you get in trials or things get hard or whatever, you know, sometimes the word is not what comes to the forefront, especially if it's not in here and it's just up here in your head. And don't let it be too simple, because a lot of times the flesh thinks things that are, looking for things that are wowing. The devil usually does not come with bread and a pitchfork. The Bible talks about, we've done read the scripture, how he transforms himself as an angel of the light. He never comes to you saying, I'm the devil. He'll come to you saying, I'm God, or I'm an angel, or I'm Jesus, you know, or something else. He never comes in the form that he really is. Why? Because you would resist him.
Right.
And he knows that, and he doesn't want to be resisted. And the more complicated things are, sometimes the flesh likes that. But how many knows God is very plain, he's very clear, he's very simple. He's not complicated at all.
Right.
So here in Ephesians chapter 6, we're going to start in verse 10 here. He says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. I cannot emphasize how great this is, what he's saying.
Right.
He's not saying, be strong in yourself.
Nope.
Be strong in your ability. Be strong in your relationship with him. And your trust and confidence and faith in him, in his power, in his ability, in his love for you. He says, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. He says, put on the whole armor of God. There's a reason for it. He says that you may be able to stand against the what? The wiles. This is warfare. The wiles, we've read it means tricks, delusions, traps, snares, lies. That's what's coming at us all the time. Lies coming at you all the time. Deception coming at you all the time. Delusion coming at you all the time.
Right.
And the thing about deception is you don't know you're deceived. You think you're right.
That's right.
He says that we may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. He says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood. This one is major. When the devil's coming at me out of Scotty's mouth, hey, boy, it's Scotty I want to slap. Why? He's the one I see. Or vice versa. Whoever. I'm just using that for an example. Why? Because I have been trained for 20-something years before I got saved to go by what I see, by what I feel. See, the devil has access to us through thoughts, through words, and also even emotions. They say, I can't remember now, but it's less than a minute. By the time you have a thought, if you don't take that thing captive, within so many seconds before you have a feeling. And how many knows a thought is easier to get rid of before you have a thought and a feeling with it?
Yeah.
He says, but we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but this is what we wrestle against. He says, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places, or we would say heavenly places. He says, wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, and then he goes on, stand therefore, and starts talking about the pieces of armor. And hopefully, maybe we'll get to that next week, I'm not sure yet. Probably depending on how far we get today. But notice that you can say resist. He says, wherefore, taking you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand. And he talks about stand. Or he could say resist. The Bible says, submit ourselves therefore unto God. Resist the devil. And what happened? He'd stand there and argue with you? He would flee. So if he's not fleeing, I need to check myself. Because if I'm yielding to him, he don't have to go. Right? Now, let's look at Luke chapter 4. I believe we read this one either last time or the time before. we're going to go back to it this morning. This is very, very important. Now, we read over there in Genesis, I think, two or three times, and we're not going to turn over there this morning and read that again. That was the first temptation, where he came to Adam and Eve. That was the first one. I want you to notice what the warfare was. If you think about it, it's words. Right? He didn't come dangling a carrot, you know, or anything. He came and he talked to her. This is the warfare. And a lot of people like to make it out to be something else. But the first one and the last one, right? With Adam and Eve and with Jesus himself, what was it? It was words. You'll never meet anybody more trickier with their words than the devil. So the first one, he came to Adam and Eve, and this is the one where he came to Jesus. Now listen, if he came to Adam and Eve and he came to Jesus, they failed, and we saw how they failed. And we're going to see here where Jesus overcomes, and we're going to see how. There's nothing in between. You understand? You either make it or you don't. And he goes on here in verse 1, and he says, and Jesus being full of the Holy Ghost, this is a key. This don't mean you just pray in tongues. This don't mean I got baptized with the baptism of the Holy Ghost and started praying in tongues in 1946. That's not what this is talking about. He said, how many knows I could have got born again, full of the Holy Ghost, filled with the Holy Ghost, the Bible says, and started praying in tongues in 1946 and be completely empty of the Holy Ghost today? That's what he's saying. So here in Luke 1, he says, and Jesus being full of the Holy Ghost. We need to be full of the Holy Ghost all the time.
Amen.
All the time. We live in a day and age that I don't know if there has ever been more distractions than the one that we live in. Ooh, and most of the time, somebody can get it, unless you make it where they can't, somebody can get in touch with you with their problems or anything else 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and it's called a cell phone.
That's right.
Unless you cut that thing off. And he says, being full of the Holy Ghost, he says, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. That's another key, be led by the Spirit. Not emotions.
Right.
Not thoughts. Not by other people.
Right.
He says, being 40 days tempted of the devil. And in those days he did eat nothing. He's on a fast. And when they were ended, he afterward hungered. And the devil said unto him, now notice the first temptation that he says, if thou be the Son of God, he knew exactly who Jesus was.
Yep.
Remember, Jesus is walking and demons just run out and start saying, Son of the Most High God, what have you to do with us? He knows who he is.
Right.
But he's hoping Jesus don't. He's saying, if thou be the Son of God, he says, command this stone that it be made bread. Why do you think that is? Something to eat. Now, look real close there, because he's on a fast. He may be thinking, I'm going to catch him at his weakest point.
Right.
But he's wrong. He's coming at Jesus at his strength.
Amen.
Why? Jesus does not yield to the flesh.
That's right.
What does he do to me and you? He appeals to the flesh with something that satisfies.
Right.
Something that brings pleasure. Something that we like. Yeah, real quiet. This is very important.
Yep, it's good stuff.
He says here, command this stone that it be made bread. Now notice, and Jesus answered him, say, it is written. This is another key.
Yep.
He's quoting over there in Deuteronomy. They don't have Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, but they have the other things, you know, Book of Moses and all this other stuff. And he tells him, it is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. Why does he say that? Because he's not living to please or by his flesh. He's living to please and by the word of God. Why? Because the word of God is our spiritual food.
Amen.
See, you can be strong in the outward man, but be real weak in the inward man, and you're going to fall for temptation. But you be real weak in your outward man, but really strong in your inward man, and be an overcomer and a conqueror.
Right.
Amen.
But you're going to have to eat spiritual food. Well, I don't like to read. I bet you do. If we just followed you around, I bet you read closed caption TV. Oh, said nothing. Some of them movies. I hate movies you got to read. Passion of the Christ was one of them, you know. I loved that movie, but I hated reading it, you know. So, I mean, most of us, we read something, you know, whether it's cans on the back of labels or whatever it is, Facebook. Let's go on here. He says, verse 5, and the devil, taking him up into a high mountain, showed unto him, notice what he says, showed unto him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. Now, what did he do to Eve? He told her, come talking to her about the tree. Right? It says, and he showed him all the kingdoms of this world in a moment of time. Verse 6, and the devil said unto him, all this power will I give thee. He really does have it. Why? Because he got it from Adam and Eve.
Right.
Or it couldn't be a temptation. And the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever will I give it. If thou, therefore, wilt worship me, all shall be thine. Listen, we don't fall down today and worship the devil in front of a statue. Most of us don't. But when I appease myself, when I know something is the will of God, but my flesh wants something different, who am I yielding to? Who am I worshiping? I'll have no other God before me, he says. Whether it's me, something else, or somebody else, right? He goes on and he says, and Jesus answered and said unto him, get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written, using the word, written word again, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. And he brought him to Jerusalem and set him on a pinnacle of the temple, and said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down from hence. He's trying, listen, Jesus had the power to do all of this. He had the power to throw himself down. He had the power to turn stones into bread, right? It wasn't that he didn't have the power. But what the devil's doing is trying to get him to do something out of yielding to the flesh the Spirit of God did not tell him to do.
Right.
The same thing he tries to get me and you to do at different times. And he goes on and he says, and he brought him to Jerusalem, set him up there. Cast thyself down from hence, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee. Now he's going to use the written word on Jesus, because that's what Jesus keeps coming back with.
That's right.
He does this. I told you this, I think, maybe last time or the one before, that the Lord told me, he said, half of the truth is always a whole lie.
Right.
And that's what the devil likes to do, is tell us half truths when he brings the word to us. He says, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee. That's the only part of it, ain't it? It goes on, and in their hands shall they bear thee up, lest at any time thou shalt dash thy foot against a stone. And Jesus answering said unto him, it is said, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And when the devil had ended all the temptation, he departed from him for a season. This is another key. When you're not being tried, when you're not going through no test, and you feel like you're on the mountaintop and it's just glory, hallelujah, get ready.
Yes.
Most of the time, what we like to do, I know myself, is just tiptoe through the tulips. Life is good. Relax. Hallelujah. No. That's what he wants us to do.
Right.
Why? Because he's already plotting and scheming his next thing to do to us. So we need to be getting full, getting ready, right? Getting full of the Holy Ghost.
Right.
Getting full of the Word of God because he's coming back.
Excuse me. What was that key right there he said?
What?
This last key.
For a season.
For a season.
Yeah,
that when he says that he left him for a season, he's going to leave us for a season.
Right.
When we overcome him or that trial or test gets done or whatever, and you feel like you're on the mountaintops, you're not going through anything at the time,
he's coming.
That's not a time to just lay down and rest and watch TV and eat donuts.
That's right.
Because he's coming back.
Mm-hmm.
But he's hoping we do that. Why? So we're not full of the Holy Ghost, number one, when he does come back. He goes on and he says, and when the devil had ended all the temptation, he departed from him for a season. And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee. And there went out a fame of him through all the region round about. And he taught in their synagogues, being glorified of all. Now go over to 2 Corinthians 10. We talked a little bit, I think it may have been the last time that I did Sunday school. So, how do I know who or what to yield to? He tells us over in Philippians, I can't think of the chapter right now, maybe somebody else can, of what to think on. Now remember, he says, think on things that are lovely. Think on things that are good report. Listen, and one of the worst things you can do is run your mouth. When I'm being attacked with sickness or trials or tests or something, one of the first things my flesh wants to do is start telling somebody about it. That's one of the worst things you can possibly do. Why? There's life and death and the power of your tongue, and when you're doing that, you're calling it the way you see it, I guarantee you. You're telling everybody how bad it is, what they're doing to you, what they're not doing. It's awful. There's a reason for that. Because if I'm not going to think on the lovely things, I'm going to think on the unlovely. There is no in between.
That's right.
And he tells me over there in Philippians, he says, if it's not lovely, don't think on it. If it is lovely, think on it. If it's a bad report, don't think on it.
Right.
Y'all ain't saying lovely. I'm talking to me.
You're talking to me.
If it's not of a good report, he said, don't think on it. And if I'm not thinking on it, guess what? There's no way I can talk about it if I hadn't thought about it.
Right.
He says over there in, what is it, Matthew 6? He says, take no thought, save.
Right?
What we're going to eat, what we're going to drink. That's how you take a thought. You let a thought get in there and stay in there, and before you know it, even if you didn't mean to, when pressure's applied, especially, it comes out of our mouth. Why? Because the Bible says also in Matthew, the mouth speaks whatever's in the heart in abundance. If faith is in there, it's going to be Jesus in the morning and Jesus at the noontime and Jesus all day and night long. If it's anything else, that's what's going to come out. So if you ain't got something good to say about a situation and you want it to change, shut up.
Amen.
Or say what the Word says about it. I know Scotty, the Lord helped him with this a long time ago. Because like I said, I think the other night, y'all think I am something saved. I really am something not saved. And I'm not trying to say nothing Billy bad or anything. That's just me. Okay? Oh, my. But one, and even after I got saved, I was so messed up in a lot of different ways, different from Scotty. So God dealt with me about a different things than what he dealt with him about. You know, one of the first things he started dealing with him about was he started showing him about financial prosperity.
Right.
I had no need of that. You know, I can't even keep my mind straightened out at the time.
Mm.
So anyway, he's talking to God about how bad I am, you know, and the devil's daughter. Most of y'all heard the stories, you know, and all this. He's serious.
Yeah.
You know, and all this stuff, and how he can't take me and live with me. And God won't talk to him about me.
Nope.
Why? Because I'm not the problem.
Right.
Jesus loves me. Jesus can take me. Jesus can be around me.
That's right.
And I don't move him one bit. Why? He's unmovable.
Amen.
So God starts talking to Scotty about Scotty. And he tells him, call Teresa the way you want her to be.
Amen.
So he would start calling me, you're so cute. I said, shut up. No, I'm not cute. He said, you're so funny. I said, no, I'm not funny. I'm the least funny person you know. I'm serious. He said, no, you're not. You're funny. Ooh, and it just burns me up, Johnny. But before long, he'd say, you love my little princess. He'd say, you're my little rose with thorns. Y'all know, remember that song, right? Every rose has its thorns.
Yes.
We won't get off on that. And he started calling me the way he would see me, you know, and if I wanted to lose weight or whatever, he'd say, well, you're losing weight. You know, I'd say, shut up. There's no way, you know, blah, 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 whatever. My point being is, what does God do? Calls everything, all, everybody, the way he sees us. The way that he sees us in the natural, that we are.
Nope.
No, he don't. He didn't walk out here and say, whoo, it's dark out there. What did he say? Light be.
Amen.
And it was dark, right? He calls those things that be not as though they were.
That's right.
So that's what we're supposed to do. And if we're not there yet, in faith, can do that, then keep your mouth shut. Keep my mouth shut. Why? Because I'm going to start speaking death. Why? Because the spiritual warfare is words.
Amen.
That was the first thing that he came with, was his words. There's death in them. But he looks like he's bringing life. It looks like about the things he said is going to bring freedom, didn't it?
Yeah.
He was talking, put up there, Zach, if you will, the Genesis that I gave you. We're not going to turn over there. But over there in Genesis 3, we've read it, and he starts talking to Eve about the fruit that is on the tree and everything, and they started talking, and notice what it says. And when the woman, what?
Saw.
He didn't say that. Now, he's talking to her, Johnny. But while he's talking, how many knows images start being created in the mind?
Start to look good.
You start looking at the situation, or images start being created in the mind. For an example, this is just an example, and this is how it starts most of the time. Me and Scotty in an argument. I go to the store. This good-looking guy riding in my convertible yellow Bumblebee, right, Camaro, is sitting over there. And he starts talking to me, and he talks real smooth there. He tells me how good I look. Mm. Y'all ain't saying that.
Yep.
He tells me what he can do for me.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And then he tells me if I would do this and this and this and this, I would treat you like you're supposed to be treated. I'm like, mm-hmm. Image starts being created in my mind.
Yeah.
I'm a new husband. But guess what happens, April, because the word is in there. Comes back and it says, but God hates divorce.
That's right.
Well, sorry, I don't talk strange guys in my bumblebee. I got to go, dude. Sorry. But see, it created an image, and then she starts looking at the tree. And when she saw that the tree was good for food, I don't know how long they've been in this garden, how many times they looked at this tree and this fruit. Right. But they knew, this is bad. This is not good. God said this, if I eat this, it's going to kill me. See, that's what he says. You're in spiritual bondage. You just need to not go to church this morning. You need to just go to the flea market and rest, you know, because you work 6 days a week, you know. You're supposed to have a Sabbath that you want to do whatever you feel like. At least one day a week, you know, the scripture. It's in the Ten Commandments. Most of us break it, but God did say it. And it's not funny either why a lot of us die early and sick.
That's right.
Because we're not keeping the word about the Sabbath. We won't take his name in vain, but we don't care nothing about the Sabbath. That's another message I'm working on. We're not going to get into that one. We're going to stay on this one. But that's what he starts doing. Painting a beautiful picture. See, it's going to bring me freedom, Johnny. It's going to help me rest. If I go to the flea market instead of going to church. I mean, that's love.
Right.
It might bring pleasure to my flesh.
Right.
But it's going to spiritually deplete me. Why? Because I would have missed everything I would have got at church. Well, I'll go back on the internet and watch it later. It's not the same.
Right.
It's just not the same. And the thing about it is, I'm not supposed to go to church and assemble all the time to be getting something from me. That is so unlike God and selfish.
Right.
When I grow up a little bit to where I can stand on my 2 feet a little bit and get off the bottle a little bit, maybe a little mashed potatoes or something, I'm supposed to be helping others.
Right.
I'm supposed to be bringing something to the services, whether it's just my faith.
Amen.
Or it may be a testimony. You know, all testimonies are not good. Hey, some testimonies I just wished I had and ought to heard. Y'all ain't saying nothing. Y'all heard them too, ain't you?
Yep.
You just won't tell the truth? Yeah. Why? Because everything is not to be said. And how many knows everything is not God? But the ones that he's wanting in the services, they're inspired by him. Whether it may be just a parking spot that God really did give you and he's really in the service inspiring you to say it. I heard a testimony. Sandy gave a testimony one time. I don't know how long I've been saved. But probably just a few months. Baby Christian, you know. And she's telling this testimony about how she lost her keys. And she's telling the Holy Ghost, you know, Holy Ghost, you know where these keys are. Where are they? Show me or tell me. Well, anyway, make a long story short, he finally did. Well, I'm in the shower one day, and I remember hearing her words. Now, this is the Holy Ghost, though, bringing it up to me.
That's right.
But I don't know when I'm such a baby. I don't even know he speaks to you like that, but I heard her say he speaks to you like that. So I'm in the shower, and so I'm going to test him. Now, it's not out of a wrong thing. I believe him because of what she was inspired to testify.
Amen.
And so I said, okay, Holy Ghost, where is that story? Because I remembered the story about the woman in the well, but I didn't remember where it was at. So I said, okay, Holy Ghost, you tell Sandy about where her keys are, so I'm asking you, tell me where that story is about the woman at the well. And he told me. over there, I believe it was John 4 at the time. And sure enough, I thought, I can't wait till I get out of the shower. I got out of the shower, I went, look, Johnny, it was exactly where he said it was.
Amen.
But see, if you're not in the service, you can't do that for nobody.
That's right.
If I'm not in the service, that can't be imparted to me. So I shouldn't always be coming looking. I hear people say, I'm going to church to get my blessing. Well, why don't you go to church to be a blessing?
That's right.
The Bible says it's more blessed to give than it is to receive. Right? I don't know how we got off on that, but anyway.
Praise God.
Good stuff.
2 Corinthians 10. That's 1 Corinthians. Well, that don't look right. Verse 3. He says, for though we walk in the flesh. Now, we're all here in the flesh, right? We all got body. That's what he's talking about, physical body. He says, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. He says, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Now, notice that we read over there in Ephesians 6 where it says, we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, right? He's saying here, our weapons are not fleshly. They're not fists and knives and guns and all of this. What are our weapons? He goes on here and he says, to the casting down of imaginations in every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Did you hear what that just said? Every thought. I have been so up on this before. Now, not right now, I'm just telling you. Slack it. I have been so up on this and doing this before and keeping my mind stayed on the Lord and the scriptures that talks about good reports and lovely and all that stuff before, not thinking, to where I would see a wrong thought out here before it ever got to my head.
Wow.
Y'all ever had that happen? That your mind is just so controlled and you've been so casting down thoughts and mind on the Lord till you see a wrong thought out here. I heard a preacher say one time, you know, that the mind should, every mind should have a bouncer at the door.
Yep.
They do it at bars, don't they? They see your ID. Who are you? Who's your mama? Who's your daddy? How old are you? Where'd you come from? Where you live? We're supposed to do that with every thought. And the thing about it is, if we'll keep our mind stayed on the Lord and our thoughts stayed on everything that is lovely and of good report and all that, you won't have near as hard a time checking them at the door. The Word of God will check them for you.
That's right.
That's what it says, right? Is it a discerner of thoughts, the Word of God, right?
Yeah.
And intents of the heart?
Yep.
So the more that I do that, the less problem I'm going to have.
That's right.
But he says there, he says, take every thought into captivity. Why? He's hoping you let one get by. Because one yielded to thought, a big one, can take you down a long road you don't want to go. Now, for the weapons of warfare, they're not carnal. They're not flesh and blood. One of the things that we have is God's Word, just like Jesus had. When the enemy came against him, what did we see he done? It's written. It's written. You can't know it's written if you don't read it's written.
That's right.
If you don't meditate on it, if you don't put it in there, it ain't in there. So what comes up whenever you need it? TV, Facebook, whatever you've been putting in, the news, newspaper, you know, whatever you've been putting in, whenever you need it, whatever is in there, that's what's going to come up.
Right.
And if the Word's not in there, then you can't use it. Let's see where we go. Let's go over to 2 Corinthians 5, since we're here in Corinthians. Just a few pages back. Now this gets into a little bit of the armor that we're going to talk about later. We really are going to get to that one day. But the first piece of armor that he talks about is truth, right? What is truth? You'll hear people today, well, you got your truth and I got my truth. You go live your truth and I'll live mine. Don't fall for that.
That's right.
There's not but one truth. The Word of God is truth. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, right? You cannot separate him from the Word. He never does anything outside of being in line with the Word. Now here in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, He says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, if you have repented and asked Jesus to come in your heart, you are in Christ. You are born again. We call it saved. He is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And this causes a little bit of confusion sometimes, especially in a baby Christian. They'd be like, well, I still look the same. I still think some of the same ways. I still do some of the same things, you know, or whatever. Well, what it's talking about is in that inward man, you was dead unto God before. The Bible talks about once you get born again, now you are alive unto God. It's in your spirit that, behold, all things are passed away and all things have become new. And now all things that are in your spirit are of God. The Bible talks about work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. What he's talking about, that salvation. And that word doesn't just mean saved from hell or whatever, or born again. I mean, that's a package deal when you look it up. Your healing is in your salvation. Your financial prosperity is in your salvation. The blessing of the Lord that maketh rich and addeth no sorrow, that's in your salvation package. That whole nine yard there. And he says, work it out. Work it out from that inward man. But the thing that religion does, religion says, Sandy, stop wearing that gold and silver. Now those earrings, take that off. That's ungodly.
Yeah.
I thought about it this morning. My shirt don't have much sleeves in it or whatever. And I thought, you know what? If a fat underarm pia turns you on, you really need to fast and pray. Do you know you got people that it does?
Yes.
That's what religion does, though. Religion wants you to look and act a certain way without God having any leading in it whatsoever. And that stuff is awful. You can't do that for very long. And the people that do that are hypocrites. When they leave out of the church or wherever from around people, that ain't the way they live. Don't be fooled by it. Let's go on here. He says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ. Excuse me. And hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. So every born-again believer is in the ministry. I didn't say your fivefold ministry, but we are in the ministry. He says, to wit that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. Now notice this. For he hath made him to be sin for us. Jesus never, ever sinned. Right? But he made him that way. Before you got born again, you was never, ever righteous. You hear me? I don't care if you even did something right. You was not righteous. You were unrighteous. I was unrighteous. It says, for he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Now go over to Ephesians 6. Verse 13, he says, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God. This is the reason that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. He says, stand therefore, or we could say, resist the wiles of the devil, having your loins girt about with what?
Truth.
What does the Bible say truth is?
Word.
Jesus said, Father, thy word is truth.
Yes.
Right? Sanctify them through thy word, for thy word is truth. So the written word of God is truth. Jesus himself, we're going to see at least two. Jesus himself said, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. Now listen, you can't go by what you think.
Right.
I can't go by what I think. I got to stay with the scripture.
Right.
So therefore, scripture says his word is truth, his written word is truth. Jesus himself is the truth. The Bible says that he is the word made flesh over there in John. What is it, John 1? Yeah. So there we see two things. Jesus, know Jesus and you'll know truth. Right? Know the word and the written word and you'll know truth. Now notice this. He says, having your loins girt about with truth. Now listen, some people think that this is like an actual armor. No, it's not. He's using these things so we can see how important that they are in our lives and what they do to us and for us spiritually, like an outward soldier.
Right.
He has a belt that he has on around his loins, right? Well, that's what he's saying. Put it on. What protects my life? What I got in here? Well, if you slice me open, one thing, my intestines are going to fall out. I need my intestines. Right?
Man.
I need the lower parts here. So I got to have the truth. So people that don't ever read their Bible, I'm not just talking about reading. We should study, right?
Yes.
Timothy said that we need to study ourselves to show ourselves approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of what?
Truth.
So one of the ways that I know what truth is, because some people, they just take one scripture and build a doctrine on it, just like them, woman, be silent in the church. We know better than that. There's other scripture, Johnny, that says we're neither male nor female.
Right.
Then how are you going to tell the woman to be quiet in the church when there's neither male nor female?
Right.
A lot of different things. Why? Because that's just a doctrine that a lot of men made.
Right.
Now notice that he says, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. So we need to know what the word says. Another thing. He talks about over there in Romans. Let me just turn over there right quick. Y'all hold your place there in Ephesians as we'll come back. Romans 8. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. There's another verse. I can't think of where it's at right now. In this, you can't it's not good enough just to know written word. Because there's a lot of written word. I need to be led by the Spirit of God of which word?
Amen.
Because I could say a lot of word at the time. Y'all remember Jesus told the disciples that in the time that you need it, don't meditate on what you're going to say and all that stuff. He said, why? Because at the time that you need it, the Holy Ghost will bring to you the word that you need. That's another one. Be led by the Spirit. I don't care what Sister Susie testified to, that God told her what word to use. You better get your own word from God to use.
Right.
Now go back to Ephesians. So we need to have the word of truth, rightly divided truth. How do you do that? You fit one word, one scripture with another scripture. You know, if it's really the true word of God, that thread will run throughout the whole Bible.
That's right.
It won't just be something that seems like it contradicts every other scripture in the Bible. He says, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness. Now, one of the things that truth is going to do, what is the truth going to keep out?
Lies.
Amen. What are we supposed to stand against?
Lies.
The wiles of the devil. The lies, the deceptions, the tricks, the traps, the snares. This is the warfare. So the number one weapon he says we need to have on is our loins girt about with truth.
Yes.
When I know the truth, he says, you shall know the truth, and the truth will make you
free.
The lies of the devil tell you, if you do this, this, and this, this is going to make you free. Looks good, sounds good, appeases to my flesh, gives me pleasure, but brings me into bondage. Lies always bind. Truth always sets free.
Amen.
And he says that's the first piece of armor we better have on. And this is not going to help me to get up every morning and say, okay, I'll put on my belt of truth. It's not a real belt. Hello? I can't go to the Christian bookstore and buy this.
That's right.
I'm serious. I can't tell you how many people that I've talked to that say, I put on my whole armor every morning. I get up every morning and say, God, I put on my belt of truth. I put on my belt. And they go through these motions. Don't have a clue what that even means.
That's right.
So I got to know the truth. He says, verse 14, latter part, he says, and having on the breastplate of righteousness. What, if I put on the breastplate, what is that protecting? My
heart.
My spiritual heart toward
God.
That's right. My love toward God and toward his people. But he says that breastplate is the breastplate of what?
Righteousness.
Righteousness is going to act like a breastplate when I know it and I believe it.
That's right.
Why? Because one of the things that the devil comes to do, because we're not perfect in the flesh yet, we're all growing and developing. That salvation that's come on the inside of us, especially baby Christians. I don't know what I thought I couldn't make it for, but I used to hear this all the time right after I got saved. I can't make it. I'm telling you, if I can just get to church and let Brother Brad pray for me, I'll be okay. I don't know what I thought I couldn't make, Johnny. Lies of the devil.
That's right.
And then when I would get mad and I would cuss God out or I would do something I shouldn't do, I would feel so bad. It used to feel good, but now it would feel so bad. And here come the devil. Oh, if you was really saved, you would have not have done that.
Right.
What does righteousness do? It protects me from unrighteousness.
That's right.
And that's a lie of the devil. I don't care what I done. I don't care what I said. I didn't say it was right and okay, right?
Yeah.
I don't care what I said. There's nothing I said or done that made me righteous.
That's right.
Other than accepting him and his righteousness.
Amen.
So there's nothing that I can do or say that's going to make me unrighteous. Why? He made me that way.
That's right.
It's not based on what I do or say. It's based on who I believe. If I believe his word, then I'm right.
Right.
So righteousness is going to act like a breastplate that's going to cover me from his lies coming to me. You're not right with God. God don't love you. You unrighteous, unholy thing. Y'all act like y'all don't never hear none of this stuff.
Yeah, right.
And I hope y'all don't. But he does it to me.
Yeah.
He still tries to do it. So my righteousness is based in him, right? We just got through reading the scripture over there in 2 Corinthians 5, 17. They're what, 21? The last one he says, and he made him to be sin so that I might be made the righteousness of God. You must believe this. When you believe this and receive this, that righteousness will act like a piece of armor that covers your breastplate.
Amen.
That's what he's relating this whole thing to. He's just making this analogy to give you something to see the importance of the things that he's trying to tell us. We got just a few more minutes here. The next one he says, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of what?
Peace.
Peace. So he says, notice what it says now, and your feet shod. What's the Bible say? Blessed are the feet of those who bring good tidings and the gospel of peace. He says, and your feet shod with the what?
Preparation.
The preparation. It's a preparedness.
That's right.
The Bible says how that we are to be ready to give an account to every man that asks us about the hope that is in us. There's some people that they ask them anything about the Lord, they don't know nothing. Well, you need to come to church and hear my pastor, he can tell you. No, that's not what he says. He says here that you are prepared, your feet are prepared for the gospel of peace. We have a preparedness. What's this mean? We're studied up. We're prayed up. We're full of the Holy Ghost. We're ready at any time to give the testimony, Johnny, of what Jesus has done for us and what he can do for you. How he brought peace to me. Listen, he said the gospel of peace, not the gospel of condemnation, that you're going to hell, you wretched thing.
Right.
He says the preparedness on our feet of bringing the gospel of peace, that Jesus has come and made peace, reconciled all men with God, if you'll accept him. He says, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. When you begin to study this, this is not a little round shield like a lot of us think. This is kind of like a door-sized shield that your whole body can get behind.
That's right.
But notice what it says. He says, above all, you got all this stuff, just in case you forgot to put it on. Take the shield of faith. What? Faith in God. And he loves me. He's my protector. He's my defender. He's all this. And notice what he says here. He says, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the what?
Fiery
darts of the devil. All the fiery lies, temptations, tests, trials, snares, traps, delusions, deceptions. All these things. He says, take the shield of faith. He said, what'll come? He says, you'll be able to quench them.
Yep.
What's the scripture Pastor read a few weeks ago? Think it not strange for the fiery trials that has come upon you to try you. Woo, those are the hot ones. But he says, that shield of faith, he said, it'll quench all of them. What'll happen? You have a financial problem or whatever, you're a tither, you're a giver, so you're in line with the scriptures, you're doing what he said to do. You've got faith and confidence, and he will do what he said he will do. I'm standing behind that shield. So here comes a fiery dart. My refrigerator goes out. I've got income taxes to pay, blah, blah, blah. Here it comes. And I got my shield of faith up. Ping, 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 ping. What are they doing? They're looking at me strange. That fiery dart, that lie that he's telling me, God's not my provider. God's not going to come through. God's a liar. He does it for everybody else, but he don't do it for you. My situation's never going to change. Let me tell you something. There's not a situation that cannot change in a second of time.
Amen.
If you can believe it.
Amen.
Not one. Not one sickness. Not one person. Not one disease. Don't he say just his name is above all of that?
Yes.
If you can name it, he's above it.
Yes.
Listen, let me tell you something. If he can control the hearts of kings, you better believe he can do something with me and you.
Amen.
I've got to stop because time is up. And hopefully we'll get into this and get more scripture on it and everything. Does anybody have anything they'd like to share or comment?